You're listening to The Pulse, where it's all about student news, student opinions and student voices.
Welcome back to The Pulse. Now we're going over to Grayson, who's going to be talking about the increasing waiting times in UK hospitals.
Delays for hospital care and waiting times in A&E hit highest levels on record as key targets for cancer treatment hospital care in A&E have been missed for over 3 years under the Conservative government. With 4.42 million patients currently waiting for care, 84.8% are waiting under 18 weeks, below the 92% target, which is the worst performance since 2012. 83.6% of accident and emergency patients are admitted and transferred within 4 hours, which is below the 95% target and is the worst performance since 2004. 76.9% of cancer patients start treatment within the 62 days, which is below the 85% target. These figures prompted Labour and the Liberal Democrats to attack the Conservatives' NHS track record, for which Boris Johnson has blamed on huge demand. Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn has branded the performance figures as disgusting and states that it is a lack of staff and funding that is to blame, not the people using the NHS. And I was just wanted to ask the panel, what do you think of these statistics? Like, what do you think that this says about the state of our NHS? Who's to blame for this?
I think, in my opinion, that ever since the Conservative government introduced austerity, there's been a massive problem with the NHS. We hear all the time about how junior doctors are overworked, how there's not enough staff. Personally, my mum works for the NHS, and I know on a personal level that she's completely overworked and stressed all the time because work that 15 people used to do is now being done by about five. So they're trying to make cuts everywhere and make it really efficient, but actually it's just meaning that it's becoming more inefficient because people are too overworked, they're too stressed, and actually there isn't enough staff to do all of the jobs that need to be done.
I think I would agree, but also I think we do have to consider, like, so that the advertising and the NHS puts out. So when, you know, for example, when you go to A&E, say if you've broken your leg, you know, it's not in the, you know, you should go to minor accidents, or you shouldn't go to, you know, actual, you know, there are other places that you can go so that people, you know, who need urgent care can, you know, because you can wait for something like a broken leg most of the time. And so it's not, you know, I don't think it's complete. It is obviously a lot to do with overworking and not enough staff, but it is also to do with, you know, teaching people the right places to go and, you know, the right people to go see for different problems, because sometimes you don't even have to go see the GP. You can go to the pharmacy, for example.
I do agree to a certain extent about the A&E waiting times, and I do think sometimes people do go to A&E when perhaps they don't need to, and maybe that's something we can improve on. However, the statistics that Grayson read out about people with cancer having to wait such a long time for their treatment to be put in place, I think that's absolutely disgusting. I don't think that's acceptable at all.
And I will point out that these statistics aren't just for A&E, they are for general healthcare as well, such as GPs and walk-in centres, so that is for waiting times and performance for care as well in those places, not just A&E.
I think, like Liv just said as well, with the cancer treatments, for instance, things like that, there should be no excuse whatsoever for there being such long waits, because often waiting can be critical, you know, can change someone's state, and they need that support and, you know, medicine and medical help as soon as possible. But like you said, if they're strained, if the workers are strained, things, there's kind of no option. So it's bad on both, it's like bad consequences for both people.
I suppose it's not just the lack of staff and being overworked as well. I mean, the lack of funding has had such a detrimental effect on the NHS, and not just the NHS itself, but workers as well and healthcare professionals. I mean, in Stoke, you've got nurses going to food banks because they can't afford to feed themselves or their families, or nurses and doctors living in their credits. And it's like, doesn't that show that we should do something about it, and that the government should do something about it? These are people that save lives on a daily basis.
Also, I think it means that people who can afford private healthcare, more and more people are going to go and use that option, because if they've not got the confidence in the NHS, then a lot of people who don't need to use it actually won't, which I think is really sad, because the NHS is there for a reason. It's our national health service. We're so incredibly lucky to have it in this country. So many other countries don't have a national healthcare service, and a lot of people don't have the same kind of medical care that we can get here. I do think it's something that needs to be protected. I think in the upcoming election, it'll be really interesting to see who introduces this into like their manifestos and stuff, because I do think it's going to be a big one.
Didn't someone from the NHS say that they shouldn't be using, I heard a report about a week ago saying they shouldn't use the NHS as a bargaining method, basically, and I think it so often is used as a tool for parties to,
I think every election it is, and yeah. Also, when you look back at promises made, I think a lot of them are unfulfilled.
So I'm glad you've just brought that up, because for the next general election, all parties are proposing to increase the NHS budget. So, for example, Labour is offering to increase the budget by 3.6%. And Boris Johnson has hit back at these sort of proposes, suggesting that he is afraid, when he looks at the rival proposals and the economic disaster that Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party would cause, because it would make it impossible for the NHS to be funded long term.
Can I just say that Boris Johnson was instrumental to the Brexit campaign, and we're now looking at the most uncertain future economically that we've ever had before. So I don't think he can be criticising anyone for potentially causing an economic disaster, because arguably, when we do leave the EU, he's probably going to be partly responsible for the biggest economic disaster that we've ever seen.
I suppose the most important thing for me, that question that this raises, is the NHS becoming the favourite toy for pre-election policies that will inevitably be thrown away when it's time for the policies to be put into practice? Is this what we're feeling?
100%. Yeah, definitely, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to have all these promises, but is it going to happen? You know, is it going to be possible? You know, it's great, but it's definitely a tool, I think.
Well, on that basis, has the NHS promises by the different parties swayed anybody's vote, and will they be taking into consideration the NHS propositions?
I will be taking it into consideration. I think anything that's not kind of Brexit related, I think we should all consider, though I think when it comes to voting and stuff, I think this time around Brexit will be kind of what sways a lot of people's opinions when they do decide to vote. I'll still take into consideration what people are saying about the NHS, but also I'll be taking it with a pinch of salt, because as we've seen in the past, often people don't come through on the promises they make regarding the NHS, and especially the Conservative government. I feel like I don't really have confidence in them regarding the NHS, because I think they've had the majority in the government now for a very long time, and we've not seen any improvements. In fact, I'd say that we've seen completely the opposite, and the situation with the NHS has gone downhill even more.
So I completely agree with that. So the NHS is something that I will be taking into massive consideration, being someone who is disabled and chronically ill. That's quite a big thing for me. Whether it actually happens or whether anything changes is a completely different matter. For me, at the end of the day, all I can do is vote and hope that policies will be put into practice. However, I did find it very rich what Boris Johnson said about the Labour Party making it impossible to fund the NHS long term, considering that he is the one who's tried to privatise it and sell shares to the US.
Honestly, I think this election will be incredibly interesting to see what happens, and I do hope that people bear in mind that the election isn't just concerned with Brexit. It will go on to affect the rest of the policies and legislation in the UK for the next 4 years.
I think that's definitely that's going to affect this election massively. I feel like a lot of people are just going to vote based on Brexit, or even worse, which party leader they prefer. A friend of mine who does politics always says to me that you should vote on policies. It's not a personality contest or a popularity contest.
I think as well, as you mentioned earlier, Emily, there was an article published where someone very high up within the NHS had said that they didn't want the NHS to be a bargaining tool in this election. And in a sense, I do understand what he means. However, I think that the NHS is something that a lot of people are very passionate about.
I was going to say, it's a lot of emotions surrounding the NHS, isn't
and I
it?
I can understand why it's also a very important point to be discussed in the upcoming election, because I think it will sway a lot of people's opinions depending on what people decide to do, to like what their policies will be on the NHS. But yeah.
Well, considering it's run by the government and funded through tax and the government, it is something that is going to need to be discussed during the election. Whether we want it to be a bargaining chip or not, it is something that needs to be discussed, because we need to know what different parties believe needs to happen with the NHS. So I can't say that I agree with what the NHS worker said in the article, but I can understand where they're coming from.
Also, just going back to the waiting times, I think it would be interesting if there was some kind of research or an investigation done to see what the cause of such long waiting times are. Are we 100% certain that it is because the NHS is understaffed and underfunded? Or is it, like Annie had suggested, is it because people aren't like being exposed to the necessary signposts so that they know which service that they need to go to? Maybe it's a mixture of both. Maybe one is having more of an effect than the other, but
well, a lot of the time, you know, for when you go to the GP, you only have 10 minutes, and that's just not enough time to talk about a problem. Sometimes, you know, usually something more complicated will take half an hour, you know, 20 minutes, and some of that is to do with the preparation of a patient. Thinking about what you're going to say, and you know, being very specific. But also, it is a lot to do with the time given to GPs and other consultations in general as well, for how long we're giving patients. And even though it's probably less efficient to give more time, it might in the end be better for, you know, care, because a patient might not have to keep coming back for, you know, to get to the bottom of a problem.
And I think as well, it's little things. Like, I know at my local GP, they keep stressing about the importance of cancelling appointments if you don't need them anymore. Small things like that people don't think about, that ends up costing so much money. You know, if somebody misses, they think, oh, it's only a 10-minute appointment, it's fine, whatever I had is cleared up. But that could be an appointment given to someone else. That would be 10 minutes of that doctor's time not wasted. And so I think, yeah, it is stressing the importance of, like, the consequences things like that can have on the NHS.
Right, that's all we have time for. Next up, we have Space Cadet by B Baladoo Baba B.
This is URN.